The dominoes kept falling in slow motion. Every doctor's call and diagnostic test. I drove that 100 miles just to see you, the whole while cussing God and the devil in one breath. You knew I'd had my fill of the Bible, but you made it clear you loved me anyway. You never let on you were scared of dying, but you'd reach out for my hand and I'd listen while you pray. So here's 3 fingers of tequila, 1 finger for the cancer, 1 finger for the poison they sent pouring through your veins, 1 finger for the preacher, 'cause I don't believe the Jesus that you love so much would put you through such pain. But I do believe one angel knows my name. When you gave up on the chemo and went home, we rode about the horses, kids, and cows.
And you said you'd send me seedlings you were starting, and you thanked me for the way I still made you laugh out loud. So here's 3 fingers of tequila, 1 finger for the cancer, 1 finger for the poison they sent pouring through your veins, 1 finger for the preacher, 'cause I don't believe the Jesus that you love so much would put you through such pain. But I do believe one angel knows my name. There's a Roni grazing peaceful where you're laying, and a horsetail woven in between your hands. And I'm pulling on your boots to take them riding like I promised you I'd do every time I got a chance.
So here's 3 fingers of tequila, 1 finger for the cancer, 1 finger for the poison they sent pouring through your veins, 1 finger for the preacher, 'cause I don't believe the Jesus that you love so much would put you through such pain. But I do believe one angel knows my name.
Joey Feek
and Dolly Parton.
Good evening. Jeffrey Bennett with another Wednesday installment of To Health With You. I must openly admit to you that tonight is a radically different program than I had anticipated doing. I knew a week ago what I was going to do tonight and continued on through next Wednesday. Give the 4-part series that we did in July. I wanted to continue on in a similar direction, but a very unusual direction. But a number of things have happened lately, and some things that I became re-aware of that have been, shall we say, bothersome. And therefore, we're going to take this program in a very unusual direction tonight. Yes, we're going to talk about cancer. It seems that we're not really given much choice any longer. It was 2 days ago that the world became aware of the fact that Olivia Newton-John had passed away. Her cancer finally caught up with her after so many years. I mean, she was first diagnosed in 1992. Overcame the illness on numerous occasions, the last time in 2013. Then in 2017, she was told that cancer had metastasized and spread to her bones. Just over a year ago, she told Closer Weekly that she felt very good. She has subsequently launched the Olivia Newton-John Foundation, which helps research plant-based medicine, other holistic and wellness therapies. There's a lot of herbs that I take, she said. Over the last 10 years, I've used cannabis. My husband makes me tinctures that help me immensely with pain, inflammation, sleep, anxiety. I'd like to research all of that and find out what else is going on because I feel good, she said. He said she's also been eating vegan because his daughter was visiting. And she's a vegan. Newton-John says, I felt very good. I try to do something for myself every day that I love. Like seeing my horses or sitting in the garden. Well, she launched the Olivia Newton-John Foundation, which helps research plant-based medicine and other holistic and wellness therapies in order to discover kinder ways to prevent, to treat, to cure all cancers. And she said that after having lived for years with different cancers and having surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, I thought it would be wonderful if we could find different kinds of treatments for people going through cancer. She said, I've been lucky enough to be married to an amazing man, Amazon John Easterling, who is a plant medicine man. And so I've taken a lot of plant medicine over the past years and I've done well, but we want to raise money to fund the studies on plant medicine. Well, Newton-John managed to keep herself quite busy pursuing her passions. Earlier last year, she released a duet with her daughter, Chloe Latanzi, titled Window in the Wall. Also stayed in touch with her Grease castmates, as we all know. There's an email chain with a bunch of us, she said. John Travolta. And she did tons of meets and greets. Dede Khan and I are really close, she said. We all have a great relationship because we shared some very special times together. It's how interesting that Dede Khan was in touch with her just days before she passed. A year ago this year, Newton-John told the People magazine that she was feeling great. She said, I'm so lucky to still be doing all these things. I don't think I imagine living this long. I feel very blessed. I'm very lucky to be married to a wonderful man who's a plant medicine man, and he has great knowledge. Now he's growing medicinal cannabis for me, and it's just been wonderful. Helps me in every area. What I've just shared with you, I published July 19th of last year, 2021. And just a matter of a year and several weeks later, Olivia Newton-John is gone. I've been shocked how long she's survived, but I've been happy for it. Interesting times, interesting lessons, I guess. Interesting life. I shared with you that be doing some unusual things tonight. The opening piece of music was sung by Rory Feek and Dolly Parton. Rory Feek was a country singer with his wife, Joey. I didn't realize that, my God, Joey's been gone 6 years. She was an amazing singer. Absolutely beautiful, gorgeous woman. And she became subject to cancer. Devastating. Interesting enough, there's a wide array of songs that she did that I don't believe were meant to prepare for what was coming. She was spiritually so embedded in the Lord with her relationship, etc. Unbelievable. As Rory made reference in his music, he was not so much that way. But as time went on, he became that way. Powerful. We're going to be interspersing bits of music throughout this program tonight. Very unusual for me to do that on a Wednesday night, but each says a lot. To go to YouTube and see some of these videos and read the comments that are left by viewers and listeners to those videos is just amazing. And whether it was this opening piece, whether it was pieces by Lionel Richie or Kenny, other singers, Joey and Rory, it's absolutely shocking. Among the things that we briefly will touch bases on here tonight, I'm not going to attempt to do them in its entirety. I'm going to introduce them to you as kind of a teaser and then let you go read it and study it for yourself. One of the pieces I finally got published yesterday, I think. Talking about men and cancer, men having a higher risk of cancer because of intrinsic biological differences and not because they eat and drink and smoke more. Now that's kind of a shocker, isn't it? Researchers from the National Cancer Institute examined the prevalence of different cancers in 171,274 men and 122,826 women between 1995 and 2011. Now, we've got an interesting graph published on drkelly.net, I'm sorry. And the graph shows the number of cancer cases among men and women per people years, their prevalence over time. Results show that cancer rates are up 11 times higher among men than women. Just 2 cases of esophagus cancer among women per 100,000 in people years compared to 22 cases among men. You see, according to what we're told, men notoriously drink and smoke more than women. But that's not the reason that they have higher cancer risk. A major study suggests biological differences are the real reason behind the disparity between sexes. And understanding those differences could help to improve prevention and treatment. And the study looked at 300,000 middle-aged and older Americans who did not have cancer over 15 years. But men were more than twice as likely to develop the disease compared to women, even when lifestyle factors were ruled out, which suggests that there are intrinsic biological differences between men and women that affect susceptibility to cancer. Researchers suggested differences in genes, hormones, the immune system. They all play a role. And in this article, we've got charts, we've got graphs posted. Cancer risk factor. Cancer deaths by risk factor. Interesting. Some 182,000 women are diagnosed with cancer in the UK every year. But for men, it's 183,000. In the U.S., it's 970,000 men and 928,000 women have cancer. That's confirmed annually in this country. And researchers from the National Cancer Institute examined the rates of 21 types of cancer in that 171,000+ men and 122,000+ women. The participants were aged from 50 to 71. Their records were monitored between 1995 and 2011, as we mentioned earlier. And the findings, which were published in the journal Cancer, show that just under 18,000 cancers were detected among men, while just about 8,700 were diagnosed among women. Rates of thyroid and gallbladder cancer were higher among women, but the prevalence of all other cancers were higher among men. Among the men. Now, they did not look at cancers that are sex-specific, like womb cancer or prostate cancer. Men were 11 times more likely to develop OESO, phagal cancer. Oesophageal cancer, 4 times more at risk of stomach or throat cancer. They also had 3 times greater chance of being diagnosed with bladder cancer. And further analysis found men were still more likely to develop cancer overall when other risk factors like smoking, the alcohol intake, and the exposure to carcinogens were accounted for. And scientists have previously pointed to higher rates of smoking, alcohol consumption, exposure to chemicals like asbestos in factories. They also said that men may be less likely to seek medical advice. I'm beginning to understand why. I just had a meeting about a half an hour ago with a technician that I bring in here every once in a while when he's needed, and unfortunately he's now needed. And he shared with me some of the experiences he's gone through with doctors recently, and it's appalling to me. Men may be less likely to seek medical advice, and I think in a lot of cases because we've begun to realize that they're dishing out more BS in so many respects than maybe the women are just too easy to con. Now, the team doing these studies suggests that the male sex hormone testosterone may increase the likelihood of skin and prostate liver cancer among men by promoting cell growth. And yet they said women appear to mount a stronger immune response against oncogenic infections, those which can cause cancer, such as hepatitis and HPV, which could lower their risk of some cancers in comparison to men. And research suggests women have an extra copy of genes that protect against cancer compared to men, which could offer them further protection. It didn't do much for Olivia Newton-John, though, did it? Although, considering she was first diagnosed in 1992, and she has survived this long, profound. What is that, 30 years? I think so. The leader of these studies, Dr. Sarah Jackson, she's an epidemiologist at the National Cancer Institute, said that our results showed that there are differences in cancer incidence that are not explained by environmental exposures alone. It comes as scientists today call for the NHS to offer all cancer patients genetic profiling to determine which drugs will be the most effective against their tumor. Biomarker tests should be offered to Britons as soon as they are diagnosed to shape their care and track how their illness evolves, according to a consensus statement from the Institute of Cancer Research, 9 other organizations. And the tests look for genetic and protein or imaging markers that may identify weaknesses in cancers and can match patients to the treatment they are most likely to respond to. It's crucial that medics can use these tests, but regulatory processes and resources have not kept pace with the science, so they're not always carried out. That's not a surprise to me. a lot of times they don't keep pace because they don't want to know the truth. We have to keep in mind they make more money treating cancer than curing it. The Cancer Research in the UK, the Association of the British Pharmaceutical Industry, and AstraZeneca and Leukemia UK also have signed this statement. It's agreed to all of this. And this group calls for genetic profiling at diagnosis and at regular intervals to become standard and within the NHS so patients receive personalized treatment, which they all so well deserve. Biomarker tests should be developed alongside cancer drugs. Regulations should be reformed so they are much easier to assess, to approve for use. And the scientists admit it's expensive to make and develop the test, but said it would be a more cost-effective for the health service to target therapies to those who are most likely to respond. The story goes on. It's interesting. Sally Hayton from Manchester had a cough in early 2013, told there was nothing to worry about by medics following a lung scan. By November, she began to lose sight in her right eye. An optician referred her to the emergency department. Well, hospital doctors discovered she had stage 4 lung cancer and a secondary tumor had developed behind her eye. But they couldn't discover that earlier. This was a total shock. Hayton was 49. She'd never smoked. Told she had 10 months to live, but a sample of her tissue was sent to a laboratory to test for biomarkers. And the results showed she had a mutation in her ALK gene, ALK gene, which means Ms. Hayton could be matched to a targeted treatment which worked for more than 4 years. So she was then moved to another targeted treatment, which she has been on for more than 3 years. And she added that biomarker testing can be life-changing. Before I began on the targeted treatments, I had chemotherapy. The difference in side effects was massive. It's essential biomarker testing became mainstream. If a mutation shows up with a specific treatment available for it, that could give people extra years and a higher quality of life. Professor Christian Helan, chief executive of the ICR, said that we believe every cancer patient should have the opportunity for their cancer to be molecularly profiled to access biomarkers that can give vital clues about how their disease should be best treated. At the present moment, it can be hard to get new biomarker tests developed and approved and made available for patients. They can in turn act as a disincentive for companies and academics to develop new biomarkers to guide treatment in the future. Now understand something. There are occasions where, as we are doing today, we'll cross the path of my normal approach to discussion of cancer, because of the teachings of Dr. William Kelly, because of the teachings of Nicholas Gonzalez, other highly qualified, very well-trained people that have had tremendous success dealing with cancer in the alternative field. But there's one problem with that. Not every person listening to this broadcast today is going to jump on the bandwagon and go the alternative route. Some of you are going to continue to go right back to the medical field and do what you do, because that's what you're comfortable with. And there's nothing I can do to change any of that. Okay? I'm not going to. And that's why we share some of these things with you. Let's go ahead and pull the next song out and play it. I told you, we got a few different pieces of music we're going to play today. We're not doing our normal jazz music tonight. Stay with us, we'll be back.
I wanted you for life, you and me in the wind. I never thought there'd come a time that our story would end. It's hard to understand, but I guess I'll have to try. It's not easy to say goodbye. For all the joy we shared, all that time we had to spend, now if I had one wish, I'd want forever back again. To look into your eyes and hold you when you cry. It's not easy to say goodbye. I can remember all those great times we had. There were so many memories, some good, some bad. Yes, and through it all, those memories will last forever. There's peace in where you are. Maybe all I need to know. And if I listen to my heart, I'll hear your laughter once more. So I've got to say, I'm just glad you came my way. It's not easy to say goodbye.
Amazing song written by and performed by Lionel Richie. He originally did it in memory of a very dear family friend. Lionel Richie's good friend Kenny Rogers also did a recording of it, and they were amazingly good friends. And it's a very profound, profound piece of music. Kind of things that fit. I know that for some of you, this direction of this program is very downer. It's not meant to be downer. It's meant to awaken you, share things and thoughts and ideas. One of the things that we attempt to do is to visualize the relationship between cancer and lifespan. A new study this year reveals a thought-provoking relationship between how long animals live and how quickly their genetic codes mutate. Well, cancer is a product of time and mutations. And so researchers investigated its onset and impact within 16 unique mammals. And a new perspective on DNA mutation broadens our understanding of aging and cancer development and how we might be able to control it. You see, cancer is the uncontrolled growth of cells. It's not a pathogen that infects the body, but a normal body process gone wrong. Cells divide and multiply in our bodies all the time. Sometimes during DNA replication, tiny mistakes, they're called mutations, appear randomly within the genetic code. Our bodies have mechanisms to correct these errors and for much of our youth will remain strong and healthy as a result of these corrective measures. What I'm sharing with you right now is also posted on drkelly.net. It's called Visualizing the Relationship Between Cancer and Lifespan. And the reason I'm guiding you to it is because there are some amazing images and graphs and charts here for you to look at that make things in so many respects so much easier to understand. It talks about a cell and a regular cell division and random mutations. Attempts to answer questions asking, do bigger animals get more cancer? They've got more cells. But since mutation is more likely to occur with more cells, larger animals should have greater risks of cancer, and yet they don't. Now, as far as larger animals, we're, humans are considered kind of in the middle. We begin to talk about cancer mortality rates, mutation rates. Very interesting enough, and guys, don't start laughing. It's not what you think. There's one chart on here that says size doesn't matter. Ladies, you're laughing, I know. But you see, all these protections weaken as we age. Developing cancer becomes more likely as mutations slip past our defenses and continue to multiply. The longer we live, the more mutations we carry. The likelihood of them manifesting into cancer will increase. And since mutations can occur randomly, biologists expect larger life forms, those with more cells, to have greater chances of developing cancer than smaller life forms. But strangely enough, as we mentioned, no association exists. It is one of biology's biggest mysteries as to why massive creatures like whales or elephants rarely seem to experience cancer. It's called Peto's paradox. Even stranger, some smaller creatures like the naked mole rat are completely resistant to cancer. Interesting. Why? This phenomenon motivates researchers to look into the genetics of naked mole rats and whales. And while it's been discovered that special genetic bonuses like extra tumor-suppressing genes benefit these creatures, a pattern for cancer rates across all other species is still poorly understood. Researchers at the Wellcome Sanger Institute report that the first study to look at how mutation rates compare with animal lifespans. They say that mutation rates are simply the speed at which species beget mutations. Mammals with shorter lifespans have average mutation rates that are very fast. A mouse undergoes nearly 800 mutations in each of its 4 short years on Earth. Mammals with longer lifespans have average mutation rates that are much, much slower. And in humans, the average lifespan of roughly 84 years comes to fewer than 50 mutations per year. And these studies also compare the number of mutations at the time of death with other traits, like body mass, lifespan. Example, a giraffe has roughly 40,000 times more cells than a mouse. Or a human lives 90 times longer than a mouse. What has surprised researchers was that the number of mutations at the time of death differed only by a factor of 3. And such small differentiations suggest that there may be a total of mutations a species can collect before it dies. And since the mammals reach this number at different speeds, finding ways to control the rate of mutations may still help cancer development, set back aging, prolong life. And so the findings in these studies ignite new questions for understanding cancer. confirming that mutation rate and lifespan are strongly correlated, needs comparison to life forms beyond mammals, like fish, birds, yes, even plants. But it will also be necessary to understand what factors control mutation rates. And the answer to this likely lies within the complexities of our DNA. Geneticists and oncologists are continuing to investigate genetic curiosities like tumor suppressing genes, how they might impact mutation genes. Aging is likely to be a confluence of many issues, like epigenetic changes or telomere shortening. But if mutations are involved, then there may be hopes of slowing genetic damage or even reversing it. Well, it may all be just the first step. Linking mutation rates to lifespan is a reframing of our understanding of cancer development. And it may open doors to new strategies and therapies for treating cancer or taming the number of health-related concerns that come with aging. When I read statements like that, it bothers me a little bit. Finding ways to control the rate of mutations. Maybe a total number of mutations a species can collect before it dies may help stall cancer development, set back aging. It may open doors to new strategies and therapies for treating cancer or taming the number of health-related concerns that come with aging. All these things bother me because I look at the four-part series we did on Kelly recently, the lecture given by Nicholas Gonzalez, which I included with other commentaries and other pieces that fit. And why is the medical community to continue to ignore? Why? Because Olivia Newton-John survived for 30 years? And therefore, that's considered an extensive life, having been diagnosed with cancer. Maybe they need to take a look at some of the things she did that allowed her to live 30 years. Suzanne Somers. Others. And yet they'll continue to pay attention to people that will probably be dead in 3 to 5 years. Or maybe 7. It doesn't make sense to me. Just unbelievable. We're going to bring another piece of music in. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Old man Wrigley lived in that white house down the street where I grew up. Mama used to send me over with things. We struck a friendship up. Spent a few long summers out on his old porch swing. Said he was in the war, went in the Navy. Lost his wife, lost his baby. Broke down and asked him one time, how you keep from going crazy? He said, I'll see my wife and son in just a little while. I asked him what he meant. He looked at me and smiled, said, I raise my hands, bow my head. I'm finding more words written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than just what I can see. Oh, I believe. A few years later, I was off at college, talking to Mom on the phone one night, getting all caught up on the gossip, the ins and outs of the small town life. She said, "Oh, by the way, son, old man Wrigley's died." Later on that night, I laid there thinking back, thought about a couple long lost summers. I didn't know whether to cry or laugh. There was ever anybody deserved a ticket to the other side, it'd be that sweet old man who looked me in the eye, said, "I raised my hands, bow my head, finding more and more truth in the words written in red. They tell me that there's more to life than just what I could see. I can't quote the book, the chapter, or the verse. You can't tell me it all ends in a slow ride in a hearse. You know I'm more and more convinced the longer that I live. Yeah, this can't be, no, this can't be, no, this can't be all there is. Lord, I raise my hands, bow my head. Oh, I'm finding more and more truth in the words written in red. They tell me that there's more. Just what I can see,
just what I can see.
I believe, oh, I believe, I believe.
Brooks and Dunn. Music affects me. This is an interesting week. I am in the process of all four of our websites are being migrated. They're being moved. We have access to them, apparently. I know that certain things that should have been done with the last migration were not done. And once this is concluded, these things will be taken care of momentarily. You go to a lot of the older articles published on drkelly.net, and you'll notice that some of the images are not there. And it's because they're still listed as drkelly.info instead of .net. All of that conversion should have been taken care of before. It's interesting that I'm on the page where we talked about Olivia Newton-John, we opened the program with. And I start looking at some of the other headlines. The origin of diseases. The warning signs of colon cancer you should not ignore. How diet and inflammation affect colon cancer. Let me suggest thermography, best breast screening device, something that I began talking about well back in the year 2000. We were then recommending our listeners and readers to avoid mammograms and the like. Find a doctor who would work with you and not on you. go the route of thermography. It's not like I'm trying to get you to avoid some of the other sections of the website, but if you've got concerns about cancer, you want to learn more, spend the time. You go to drkelly.net, you scroll down the right-hand column until you see the listing of all the categories. And the top listing is cancer. And I strongly urge that you click on that and begin to scroll through and look. It's so interesting, we're doing a music show tonight, and I had not even thought about doing this. The America's Got Talent television show. And interestingly enough, on June 8th of last year, 2021, I happened to watch that program. I don't even know it's still on the air. I've never watched it since. I posted a piece called There Are Moments in This Life. And if you go to drkelly.net, there's a little search engine over on the right. Type those words in. There are moments in this life, and hit enter. And it'll take you to this article. And it's something you must watch. And it shows a segment of America's Got Talent, which had aired live on June the 8th of 2021. It's worth reading all the comments which have thus far been left on the YouTube post, which is gone well beyond that. This absolutely beautiful singer shared message with those who have been afflicted with cancer, and more importantly, all of us. And that is that there is hope. The singer went by the name of Night Birdie, or Night Bird, N-I-G-H-T-B-I-R-D-E. The presentation was so absolutely shockingly unbelievable because she'd already shared with the audience that she had cancer. And she had but a 2% chance of surviving. Well, in time she did not. And I was not aware of it until about a month after she'd passed. I never saw such glow in a human being's face in my life as I did that night. The song, the presentation was so profound that it didn't even have to go to the normal vote. We're going to hold her over to the, you know, they Simon pushed the button and the place lit up. Absolutely lit up. It was unbelievable. Simply unbelievably profound. I have never I don't know if that sound was coming through my microphone or not. It was coming through my headphones. It's not supposed to be coming through, but who the heck knows? Yeah, I'm going to turn it up a little bit. Tell me if that's coming through, Michael. Is that sound coming through? She's from Zanesville, Ohio. No, it's not. Okay. All right. It's okay. That was the song she sang. And they kept looking at her like, yeah. Who's this chick? Whippy-doo. And this is when she began to tell about the last year of her life. Cancer, etc. It's okay. That's great. It is profound to watch it. Read. Study. But there's more than just cancer dealing with this website. There's so much more. If you're dealing with Alzheimer's, if you got relatives who are dealing with Alzheimer's, the section that we openly refer to on the Kelly's site is, where is it? I'm going, it's called Have You Lost Your Mind? And in there is the piece that I originally did on the passing of Glenn Campbell, which was this month, some, I don't know how many years ago now. Profound, found the loss of people. But it's not just the loss of known people, not just show business people, etc. The loss of human beings for so damn many reasons. Doesn't that spook you after a while? It should. Mental retardation, dementia, Alzheimer's disease. There's so many things like this. So many people that we lose. My God, over the last month, I'm shocked at the number of people in the show business world that we've lost. And I can't even sit there and throw the names out right now. It's not just a show business issue. It's the average person on the street. It's you. It's me. It's people we've known. I listen to these stories. Joey Feek. An absolutely shocking, amazing, amazing human being. Absolutely exquisitely beautiful woman. But not just from the physical, the outside. Simple. Powerful. The message was unreal. We'll be closing, I believe, with another one of her songs. I've lost track after a while. And I don't know what the timing is on it, Michael, how long that piece lasts or what time it's got to start, but I will be ready for it. I don't urge you to go to drkelly.net for economic reasons. I never have. Economics are not my big thing. Making a buck is not my big thing. Yes, I go on the air once a week with precious metals offerings. That's just something I've done for 30 years. I've got to eat. I've got bills to pay. I got a family to care for. But that's beyond it. I believe very strongly in ownership of those type of things. The only other product per se that I offer are Dr. Kelly's books, which, by the way, if you missed out and did not order a set of them or a single copy, I've not changed the price. I've still got it up at the discount price that I offered in July. I am shipping so many books right now, it is absolutely appalling, unbelievable. Take advantage of Dr. Kelly's books. If you've not been diagnosed with cancer, the Dr. Kelly's self-test for the different metabolic type will teach you, much about your own physical and health needs, dietary needs, to ensure that you are able to strengthen your body, strengthen your health. If you've been diagnosed with cancer or you want to have a better understanding of cancer, then you want victory over cancer without surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. If you want to buy the set, $70.31 or something like that. I don't have it open. So, yes, my friends, this has been an unusual program tonight. A lot of mental reasons for it. Joey and Rory Feek are going to be closing this program tonight with the song that she sang some years before she was diagnosed with cancer. Just a song called When I'm Gone. I hope you'll enjoy it. Tonight's one of those programs that for my own purposes, I'm going to make a copy of it and hang on to the history of it in the library. And there's things like that you should do as well. You take care of yourself. Thanks for being with me tonight. With glass lifted on high, I say to health with you. Good night.
In spite of all the funeral songs, the birds will make their joyful sounds. You wonder why the earth still moves. You wonder how you carry on. But you'll be okay on that first day when I'm gone. Dusk will come with fireflies and whippoorwill and crickets call, and every star will take its place in silvery gown and purple shawl. On that first night when I'm gone, you will reach for me in vain. You'll be whispering my name as if sorrow were yours. Life will call with daffodils and morning glorious blue skies. You'll think of me, some memory, and softly smile to your surprise. Still, you will know where you belong. Just give it time, we'll both be fine when I'm gone.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.